thank you for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. I'm Austin Holthouse, and co-hosting with me are Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy founder, Rick Parisi, and Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy head coach, Rob Boyle. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. You can also listen to us on our website, weekendwarriorshockey.buzzsprout.com. Welcome back, everyone, to Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy official podcast. And today we've got with us the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy goalie coach, Mike De Laverne. He's joining us again for episode 6 here. And last week, Coach Rob introduced us to some defensive strategies. And this week, Rick and I wanted to bring Mike in to kind of give his perspective as a goalie, someone who's played college hockey, professional hockey, and also does coaching for Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. So, Mike, thanks for joining us and welcome.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Pleasure being here. It's good to be back. I had good fun last time. So
today we're going to discuss what goalies expect in the defensive zone, and then maybe some things about what goalies don't like to see if you're a forward or you're trying to generate some offense. And again, we're not going to get into any type of professional systems here or anything like that. We're talking beer league hockey stuff. So with that, Mike, as a goalie in general, what kind of things do you like to see happen in front of you when you're in the defensive zone from your defenders, from your centers, and from your wings?
First and foremost, we want to see defense, right? We hate when the guys are in the other end of the ice and still struggling to get back or cherry picking or something like that. So mainly we want to see five men back in the zone. Ideally, man on man is the easiest way to do this, especially at the beer league level. If each guy can cover a man, it's the easiest way to do it. And you're never going to see a center on a center or a winger on a winger, right? Because the game's so fast that something can happen in the other end of the ice where, you know, you're not going to be covering the same man the whole time. But the one way that we can establish a good solid base is obviously communication. I mean, communication is the biggest thing. If you can talk to your D and say, hey, you got this guy, or your D can talk to your D and say, hey, you cover this guy, it makes things a lot easier. Another thing is we don't want to see any panic. The worst thing as a goalie is guys just start running around and they see all that panic. And then next thing you know, the goalie's panicking and he's in the corner or something crazy like that. So just as little panic as possible is honestly the best thing you could see as a goaltender.
Yeah. So one of the things we talked about last week was defending the house. So that area from the goalposts kind of out to the faceoff dots and then up to the blue line. If the defenders, meaning all five players, can kind of help the goalie by defending in that area, does that usually eliminate some of those areas of concern that you just mentioned?
Well, I mean, if everyone can collapse the house and get to those high quality scoring chance areas, we'd like to say in the house. I mean, if everybody's there, it's going to be a lot harder to get a puck through. So
yeah,
I agree with that. Exactly. If we can all collapse on the house, especially when the puck comes low, it can eliminate a lot of, let's say, even rebound goals or things of that nature.
Do you traditionally see, or would you expect in beer league hockey that as far as a one-on-one perspective, you're really talking defenders, your two defensemen on the two wingers, your center on the center, and then your wingers in the defensive zone are kind of quote unquote covering the points, but really the idea is that they're preventing those high scoring chances out in front of the goal. Does that kind of work with what you normally would want to see?
Yeah. I mean, you could usually go to that, but like I said before, if something happens in the other end of the zone, you know, you might have a defenseman coming up in the rush and then it just goes one man back, two man back, three man back,
right,
four man back kind of.
You got definitely have to play that as it comes to you. But once you're able to set up, you know, then maybe kind of work on that, defending the house area too.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then you work on, but the one way we can alleviate all the pressure of a horrible situation is obviously communication is best there.
Yeah. If you watch NHL games and things like that, you'll see some incredible passing off of players between whether it's defensemen or forwards and defensemen.
Yeah.
Certainly we're never going to get to that level, but you know, the idea that people are able to communicate at that level on the ice, just, it blows my mind that they're able to hand off players like that. And their systems are built so they're able to do that. So
yeah, pretty crazy. I mean, sometimes you can, even if you listen close enough to a game or you're watching a game in person, you can hear them talking on the ice too, which is pretty wild when there's, you know, 15,000 people in the arena and you still hear these guys yelling at each other on the ice. So
if the NHL gets back running, we may have the opportunity to hear a lot more of that if they're not playing in front of people. If they really want to play, it may be in empty stadiums towards the end of the year here, or with less than capacity stadiums, and then you'll be able to hear that discussion.
Yes.
So, Okay.
That is true.
So now let's talk maybe a little bit about closer to the goalie. Are there things that you like to see from your defensemen, from your centers? Usually those are going to be the ones that are going to be the closest to you towards the crease area in the slot. What do you like to see from them as far as picking up players, clearing the crease, things like that?
You obviously want to see, if there's a loose puck, we want to see, obviously you want to have your body position, right? So you want to put yourself in a position as a defender or a centerman to block a person out or make it very hard for him to create any kind of offense, whether that's lifting its stick, you know, whether it's as putting your ass into the guy, doing something to disrupt just an easy swing at the puck.
One of the things that took me a little while to learn and not to be afraid, to be afraid not to do, is put the puck into the corners. Is that one of those things you like to see? Yeah. Get it out of the danger zone?
If you get it out of the house, like you said before, I mean, if we're giving up goals from outside the house, then it becomes a problem, right? But if you can get the puck further away from the net, it makes our job a little easier.
So sometimes the right play is just to, and goalies do it all the time, just get the puck to the corners.
Exactly. Put the puck away from pressure, really.
What about when it comes to shot blocking? This probably goes towards the wingers and sometimes centers that are kind of out a little bit higher.
This is you could look at this both different sides. Of course, as a goaltender, you love when your players block a shot, right? It's just nothing fires you up more. And I mean, I would hope even like your center and your wingers, or the guy eats a puck and the guys just love it. But on the other hand of that is you see a lot of times player goes to block a shot and it just deflects off a stick. And next thing you know, it's in the back of the net or something like that. The way I look at blocking shots as a goaltender here is you either got to be 100% in or 100% out, right? So you have to fully engage to block this shot, or you let the goaltender see the shot. And on the reverse hand of that, as a goalie, I prefer to see the shot, especially where it's coming from. It also depends on if it's a tip or something like that. But if the shot's coming from the blue line and there's nobody in front, you're probably going to have that save. It will make it a lot easier. So in that aspect, I would tell the defense and forwards to almost box out, let me see the shot and stop it, rather than, oh, I'm going to block this, because you know what could happen is it could turn into a situation where it deflects off shin pad and ends in the back of the net.
I block everything like an idiot. So I always have bruises and stuff like that. And I can't stop. It's just in me to try and block shots. So.
Yeah.
And of course, there's nothing you can do as a defenseman or a forward or anybody out on the ice if the puck just happens to fly off your stick, which is different than sticking your stick out.
Yeah. I mean, it happens.
So, okay. So you might say, please don't do that.
Yeah. I think if you're going to, like I said, you're 100% or 100% out, you're not just going to stick your stick out to block a shot, right? We want you to get your shin pad or your body in front of it.
Mike, just want to ask you. So I'm thinking about, like, if you're blocking a shot using your stick, right? If you're interfering with the shot as the guy's taking it, right? It's different than if you're 5 feet in front of you and, you know, trying to stop it with your stick, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We want you to try to disrupt him from shooting the puck, but we don't want you to, if you're at the hash marks and he shoots it from the blue line, you're not trying to whack the thing out of the air.
Those are definitely some great perspectives on what you're seeing and you don't want to see from the players in front of you. So let's talk a little bit about rushes coming towards you. So they're breaking out of the other team's breaking out of the zone. They have a 2-on-1. What are the basic expectations between that defenseman or forward? Doesn't matter what it is, the player on your team and you. What are you taking? What do you expect the defenseman to take?
Me personally, you don't even say anything as the play is going on. It's something you establish with your team beforehand. Is personally, I would take the shot 100% of the time. Right. So if a guy's coming in, he has two options. He can either pass to the backside or shoot. I would want the shot every time. So if you feel the same way about that, you could talk to your defense and say, listen, like if it's a 2-on-1, you're going to take the guy on the backside and I'll take the shot every time. Now, with that being said, it's not having your defense slide over and cover the man completely, because then you're giving the guy a breakaway, right? You want to hold the middle of the ice to where he's forced to shoot and he can't make that pass across.
Yeah. And that's, you know, having not grown up with a lot of instruction, that was made pretty clear as I started playing defense first, was take the pass away, goalie will take the shot. So, okay.
I mean, the backdoor plays are going to happen, but if we can alleviate some of those. And
sometimes they're just great plays. You know, the puck will get saucered right over the defenseman's stick to the back door, and the goalie's got the shot, and the other guy makes a really nice shot, and it's hockey. Goals are going to get scored. Yeah.
Hey, that's it. You're going to get scored on. No goal has never been scored on, right?
Anything for 3-on-1s? Is there, I mean, that's a tricky one for both of you.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of the same thing. You still want to force a guy to shoot, but if you can force the puck to stay on one half of the ice, it can make our job a lot easier. So if the guy's going to pass the puck, you'd rather him pass from the middle of the ice to the outside, or the outside to the middle of the ice, not from one side of the ice to the other side of the ice.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's the same thing with your communication with your D, is he needs to cut the third guy out of the equation almost and make it a 2-on-1 in that sense.
Yeah. I guess I hadn't even thought about that, trying to keep the puck to the middle. And then that allows you to cut half the ice off.
I'd say it's no different than if a team's attacking low and they have a guy in front, we don't want to let that, and a guy on the backside, we want to keep the play on that side of the ice, right?
Yeah.
So we can take the same aspect as on a rush.
Awesome. Anything else like that you'd like to, you know, bring up or talk about as far as just things that goalies in general expect from their players, especially as you're transitioning and there isn't a lot of time to have a discussion about it?
Yeah. I mean, communication's huge, and it's especially on a rush. You got to establish this before, let's say even before the game, you could have new players on your team every day, right? So just talk it over and tell them what you would like. And I'm sure most guys would understand, right?
Yeah. Okay. So let's switch to the offensive zone. And this was Rick's favorite thing before we decided to do this, was the things that Rick can do and that I can do to really drive goalies crazy in the offensive zone. So what are those things that players in front of you, that you're trying to get your defenders to prevent us from doing, that can drive a goalie crazy? Or as a goalie who's looking down the ice and going, man, those guys are doing an awesome job at X, Y, or Z to make that goalie crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the number one thing is traffic. If you even watch any level of hockey, the NHL, those guys are getting scored on because somebody's standing in front of their eyes, right? It's hard to see a puck you can't stop. Sorry. It's hard to stop a puck you can't see. So number one is traffic, especially, I mean, just stand there and who knows what's going to happen. You could even score, right? Somebody's in front of you, hits off your shin pad. It's your goal, not the guy who shot it. So it makes things a lot harder. Secondly would be smart shots. As in smart shots, I mean, if you have a bad angle, right? How many times in beer leagues do you see guys, you know, I'm bad angle, I'm going to try to go crossbar here. Next thing you know, it hits the glass and it's out of the zone. Probably more times than not, you see that than a goal, right? So as a smart shot, we're shooting for a rebound is a huge thing, right? Instead of putting in the goalie's glove or shooting it wide, we just put it on the ice, you know, 6 inches off the ice towards his far pad, we like to say. And next thing you know, that puck's most likely is probably going to pop in front of the net unless you have a guy who's really good at controlling his rebounds. So traffic and definitely smart shots are huge. Also just being around the net, you know, nothing's worse than as a goalie having a guy just around you all the time. I'm not saying you have to slash him or poke him, but if you have pressure there, you're going to know there's pressure there, right? Just like hearing footsteps in football almost.
Yeah. And Rick and I had talked on email about the, you know, one of the things that Rob had taught us at a camp was, and if you haven't grown up playing hockey, you don't know these things, until someone teaches you about it. But that first guy in driving to the net. And as I have spent a couple of years trying to do that and being the kind of player I am, I'm not going to deke anybody. If I'm going to get around somebody, it's usually wide. I'm not going to go through people, but I know if I don't have the puck, the one thing I can do is bust my ass and get to the goal, get to that crease, that high slot as fast as I can. And I think one, it opens up a quick pass and a deflection. It also opens up that space that some defender either has to ignore me or they've got to take me, and it's going to open somebody else up. So any thoughts on that, you know, first man in, you know, other than the puck carrier getting to the net?
That's a great question. So with a net drive, it's not necessarily, it pulls the defender towards you, right? So now you're alleviating the pressure of D coming on you. You have that. And secondly, as a goaltender, my first thing as I'm seeing as a rush is I'm surveying what's going on, right? So now if you're by yourself, I can come out of the net and cut down the angle so far to where, right, you have nothing to shoot at. But now I have this net drive. Now there's an option for a pass to the backside. I can't fully cheat you or fully be in on your shot. I have to be aware that, wow, this guy can either shoot or this guy's coming down the wing. He could pass here. So now I have to back up in my net, potentially giving the shooter more net to shoot at, right? So just driving the net isn't just to get a rebound or something like that. There's a lot that goes into that.
You see it so often when you sit on the bench and you're watching, whether it's your team or pickup or something like that, and there's just no traffic in front of the goalie. And the goalies just kind of look like they're out for a walk in the park. And then as soon as you start getting some traffic, it makes them scramble, especially, you know, folks that are beer league goalies. In general, all of us are beer leaguers. It'll make people a little bit more attuned to those things, and they hate it. They hate when there's traffic. They hate when there's people in front.
I mean, it's not just beer leaguers. That's every level. Even an NHL goalie, right? Professional goalie.
For the forwards, just to, this is something we always have to do at camp, because we'll do drills where guys, we screen, right? Screen the goalie. And invariably, when we do these drills, guys will get in front of the net and they'll be off to the side.
Exactly.
And what they're really doing is framing. They're not screening. And so if you're, let's say you're on the point and you're getting ready to shoot, you see two or three goalies because your guy is just taking up net space. So if you want to be effective, you need to stand in front of the goalie. And if you're wondering where to be, just pretend like you're playing goalie, like stand there, you're facing your players, you're back to the goalie, and pretend like you're going to stop the puck. So then you know you're lined up, and that's where the goalie wants to be, you know, and you're going to be in his way.
It's the same thing as a goaltender being square, right? And you see this at every level, from little kids to even NHL goalies, right? You want to be on the puck, not on your player's feet, right? So if you're screening, if you think you're screening, which you think a lot, that you're at the player's feet, oh, I'm in front of the goalie, you're really not, because it sticks, 3 or 4 feet to the left or the right. That's where the puck is. So you want to screen, ideally, the puck and the stick through the line of the goaltender.
Yep.
Any questions you had, Rick, that you wanted to throw out there at Mike?
Well, Mike, what do you do when you get guys in front of you screening you?
I used to throw a huge blocker in the back, but then it ended up going through my legs or something. So, I mean, ideally, goaltender, you got to fight through it, right? Everyone else is battling out there. Now you have a battle of trying to see the puck. What I like to say most, it's not the game, the position of goaltending in the game of hockey is not you versus the other team. It's you versus the puck, right? So if someone's in front of you, it shouldn't matter. It's you need to fight and find a way to see that puck.
Yeah, and from the offensive player's perspective, I've seen so many goals scored because of getting that traffic in front of the net, because the goalies get nuts, right? They start whacking you, and you're going to take a little bit of a beating, right? They're going to whack you. But they might take a penalty.
Yeah,
exactly. They might take, you know, at the very least, they're taking their focus off the puck to deal with you.
Okay, I thought of one other thing that maybe good. We'll see how this one plays. So, another thing that I get caught doing, because I'm not able to move as well as I would like to on as a defenseman, or if I'm backing up, is closing that space between a offensive player as a defender at the right time. So sometimes I'll find the goalies are like, basically after they've scored and I've been the person who was in front of the goalie trying to play defense, they're like, you either got to step up on him or you got to get out of my way. So do you have any advice for kind of how to, or is it just a feel thing on how to close that gap and when the right time to do it is?
I think that's just a mental thing as a defenseman, is closing that gap. Is like I said, same thing as blocking a shot, right? You either got to be 100% in or 100% out.
Yeah.
So maybe let's just say you're not the fastest guy, right? Maybe then you're out, right? If you have to second guess something, no different than if a goaltender goes to the corner to play the puck. The second you second guess it, you're behind the play, right? You're not getting the puck. So I would say probably that's the biggest thing as a defenseman, is you're 100% in or you're 100% out.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing when you know, in beer league, and you see it as well at your level. There's just guys that are faster than the defenseman, and the defenseman will think twice about, do I turn and do I pivot and go with them, or do I keep trying to back off? And next thing you know, they're in a really bad spot and their feet are tangled up or whatever the case may be. So, all right, there's no magic formula. Either do it or don't do it.
I think it's a learning curve though. I mean, that's every sport, right? You either, you'll find out if you can do it and you'll find out if you can't. And once you learn your boundaries and push those boundaries, that's how. Yeah.
That's why I switched to left wing. I don't have to do that very often. So, all right. Well, I think that kind of rolls up all the questions we had today. Is there anything else you want to throw out there, Mike, kind of off the top of your head that, you know, you would give to beer leaguers that stand in front of a goalie that you wanted to kind of throw in there?
As in the offensive side, or
it doesn't matter, anything, you know, kind of as a parting shot.
Keep battling out there and keep having fun. Second you stop having fun is when it becomes work, right?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So, all right. Well, thanks, Mike, for being with us. And we'll certainly have you on again as we need goalie expertise, which is probably more often than we think. So we appreciate you joining us. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Rick if he wants to give a camp update and kind of where we are as we're entering soon to be the last week in March here.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, COVID-19 is impacting everybody. And, you know, the rinks that we're going to early season are currently closed and they don't know when they're going to open. Our first camp of the season starts April 16th in Pittsburgh. And I've been in touch with that rink. And we decided that we're going to make a call on April 1st, which is next week, Wednesday, to decide whether or not we think we can go forward with it. So, and then we have three consecutive camps. So it's Pittsburgh, then Shelton, Connecticut, and then Atlanta on three consecutive weekends. All of those have the possibility of being influenced. And we're just, you know, trying to be patient right now. I want to thank everyone for their patience. The one thing I will say, if we end up canceling a camp, you know, we're going to look for opportunities to reschedule. I've already talked to a couple of the rinks about that, and they've basically told me, well, we don't know when we're going to reopen yet, so let's deal with that. But we will be looking at that as an option to reschedule some of these. And again, I just want to say that, you know, when this first started, people were pretty nervous, and we got a lot of nervous inquiries. But I think, you know, once we started communicating, getting the message out there, people have been very patient and understanding. And I want to, you know, thank everybody for being patient with us. And also let them know that no matter how long this thing goes on and how long it takes to play out, you know, we're going to be there, you know, to help players improve their game in the long run. So we're going to be back to doing camps as soon as we can.
Excellent. Thanks, Rick. All right. Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Rick. Yeah, everyone stay safe, stay healthy. And Rick, any final thoughts today?
Nope. Same thing. Just stay safe, stay healthy, and hopefully we'll get through this thing quickly.
That's right. Yeah, please do. Please stay safe. Please still stay healthy. Hop onto YouTube, find some quarantine challenges out there that some of the hockey YouTubers are doing. They're pretty cool. Definitely stay in shape. The last thing you want to do is have your beer league season start up again and you haven't done anything for 3 or 4 weeks, which maybe that's what everybody does anyway. I don't know.
Everyone needs a break, right?
Yeah, everybody needs a break. So, all right. Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Me too.
Well, thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. We hope you enjoyed our episode and are motivated to learn more about how you can improve as an adult hockey player. If you have show ideas, disagree with anything we said, or just want to say hi, please contact us. Simply email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com or leave a message on Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy Facebook page, Twitter, or Instagram sites if that's easier. We love to read responses and listener questions on the air. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. Share us with a friend or two or three and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the show and want to learn more. Until next time, keep working hard and improving each time you're out on the ice.